Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Path of Self-Sovereignty podcast. Today, we're with Charlie Ward. Charlie's got quite a big following on Facebook. He's been doing daily videos on this coronavirus outbreak and what he thinks is going on behind the scenes. Charlie, thanks a lot for coming on.
It's a pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Alex.
And you, mate. Can you give us a little bit of history and your background?
Yeah, I'm obviously English, but I live in between Spain and Dubai. My business is in the Middle East, and I do an awful lot of work for people in power. And there's certain things that I see and hear that maybe I shouldn't hear and see. And being the type of person that I am, I tend to ask questions. I also studied psychology when I was younger. So there's a few things that I've learned in my life that if it doesn't smell right and it doesn't look right, it probably isn't right. And very interestingly, you and I have a very similar saying that facts don't care about your feelings. And that comes from Jordan Peterson in my case, somebody who I've watched and studied. But the basics are that from where I'm in a very privileged position that I move in certain circles dealing with people in positions of power and hear pieces of information and see things that are happening that other people probably wouldn't see or wouldn't hear. And then once you see and hear things, I tend to do my own investigation and try and work out and find out what is true and what is not. So that's a bit about me and why I started investigating this. It started probably 5 or 6 years ago when I heard my first piece of information that made me question certain things.
What was that?
I was told that they were going to put Donald Trump into power in America. And I went, you what? I thought Hillary Clinton was a dead sir. Said, oh no, don't worry about that. That's the old guard. We're now taking control and we're going to have Donald Trump in there. And I was like, really? How are you going to do that? Said, you've got to get the Americans to vote for him. So you don't need to worry about that. It's Donald Trump will be the next president, I assure you. And then suddenly he becomes the president against all odds. And you go, well, how do you know that? And then when next time you see them, they look at you with a smile on their face as if to say, I told you. And because of my background, of religious background, and coming out of the religious cult that I came out of, and finding out that a lot of what I'd been told wasn't true, and then finding out, doing my own research really, to find out what was true and what's not true, you know how to go about an investigation and how to dig about and how very often people won't tell you exactly what the truth is. You have to work it out for yourself. So that's really where it started, if you like.
Because we don't get that, do we? We don't. The mainstream media aren't going to tell us anything other than the narrative that they want to push.
That's very, very true. That's extremely true. And I think we've just seen exactly that where Eamon Holmes, who I've met on a number of occasions, actually slipped up by suggesting, oh, there might be a link. No, he's been told to apologise. You don't say that because that's not the narrative, because the people who sponsor the media don't want you to think that way.
No, I think people need to get out of their head that the media today aren't there to supply the news. They're there to create mass fear and panic.
Totally. I used to wake up early to watch Piers Morgan because I thought he was challenging people, and he was when the times were good. But when the time of battle comes, when you want to know the truth, he's been found very much wanting, asking the questions that he's been given to ask rather than the ones that Piers used to ask.
Yeah.
And it just shows, really. It's become blatantly obvious. It's not just me that's saying it. There's lots of people saying that now.
Yeah. So what do you take on this? I don't even like using the word, but what's your take on the coronavirus? Do you think it is actually a virus, or do you think it's like a complete hoax?
Well, following on from where I was told that they'd get him into power, I had a conversation 2 years ago with a certain person in power in the Middle East. And they told me that they're going to collapse the world's economy in Europe and America mainly within the next 2 years. And I've gone, how are you going to do that then? I said, don't worry about that, Charlie. Don't worry about that. And his words are always, trust the plan. And I was going, okay, what's that? I don't know how you're going to collapse the economy without anyone noticing. And then at the end of last year, when I was in the Middle East, he's gone, Charlie, we're going to collapse the economy. You watch. He said, I said, what, Christmas? He said, soon. We're going to collapse the world economy. You wait and see. And I was like, really? How are you going to do that then? And then suddenly at the beginning of the year, you get a virus that is proclaimed, let's put it that way, that is out there. And then suddenly the stories that come out are off the scale. And all I get from the person that told me is a little wink on Facebook. That's it. Nothing more than that. And you go, of course, the travel ban comes in, so I can't go to see him. Etc., etc., etc. Every now and then when I do my little videos, he likes them, or he puts a little smile there. So that's how they collapse the economy. So the virus, in my opinion, it's a very humble opinion, is that the virus is there to be a smokescreen away from what's actually happening. The collapsing of the economy reboot the world's economy, to reset, a global reset is what they call it. And if you forget, take the emotion out of people dying, and I've made it my point in my video that my mother died when I was young. My younger brother died fairly recently, and under 50 years old. I lost my eldest son at 27 years old. So I understand the pain of death, and I understand that you can use that emotionally. But people are using it now, but the figures are just not backing it up. That all these thousands of people dying. Well, thousands of people die every day. People die of AIDS, people die of cancer. I've had a phone call this morning from somebody who works in the United Kingdom in a mortuary where they certify, they provide the death certificates. And he's been told since March the 12th, no matter what, every death must be listed as COVID-19. Now, he works there. He's got no reason to lie. He's been told to list every death as COVID-19.
So what if somebody has like a car crash and dies? They'd have to be labelled as that.
They're going to be labelled as COVID-19. And there's a reason for that. It's quite simple. The numbers that they're pumping out just don't add up. They don't. You look at the Office for National Statistics, which I sent to my daughter this morning, ons.gov.uk. Look at the deaths for this year, last year. Go back 10 years. I don't know. Pick a year. This year is the lowest. January, February, and March. And we're in a pandemic. I think there was 22,000 in the first 3 months from influenza and respiratory issues this year. 4 years ago, it was 29,700. And there was no panic then. There was no, we need the ventilators, we need the beds, there was nothing, not even a hint. And suddenly the numbers have dropped dramatically this year. The actual figures, forget the mainstream media, we know they're biased, we know that. But look at the facts. The facts are on the government website. They're not in the Charlie website. They're in the government website. They're official figures. And you'll see that this year they've got a COVID-19 line. Explain to me why this year nobody's died of respiratory issues or normal influenza, or the numbers have been dramatically reduced. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to work out that somebody is manipulating the figures to try and back up a fake story.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up.
No, no. And as you say, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at those figures and check that out. But why do you think people don't want to see that? Because people will purposely go out of their way to not see that. They won't click on that link because it will shatter their beliefs.
It's the mainstream media, social media, and the way that it's presented. And I've had a discussion, interestingly enough, with the people in the Middle East who are very good friends of mine. We discuss about God and Allah, which is a translation of the word God. And I said, if you look at the Burj Khalifa as a building, when the sun is shining on it from this side, it looks very, very different than when you look at it from the shade from the other side, but it's the same building. And it depends very much how much it's being presented in a certain way. And the media, by the nature of their name and their business, is that they're very good at presenting things as very dramatic. You know, television, film, they're the masters of illusion. They put out stories. And the way that they word it, there was a very interesting point that was made the other day. About Eddie Large that died of a heart attack. But the way the media put it out was that Eddie Large has died and he had tested positive to the coronavirus. Didn't say he died of the coronavirus. No. It's all about wording. And they word it in such a way and they put it out, they have an agenda to mislead, And when you look at the funding side of who's funding them, the big pharma companies are funding the BBC, take huge amounts of funding from big pharma. ITV, when I was growing up, it was independent television. It's not anymore. It's funded massively and that they're guided as to the way that they want them to present certain stories.
Yeah.
And what will come out over the next few weeks will be how the media published the story about September the 11th in America.
Yeah.
But that's for another day.
I tell you what gets to me is that there's never anybody held to account. It's like we say the media. Who is that? Who can we say, yeah, you're the problem?
Well, if you're looking at the BBC, you have to look at the Director General. But the trouble is they'll always blame somebody else. Not one of them can stand up and say the buck stops with me. In my business, the buck stops right here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a problem. It's me. Yeah, there's nobody behind me. It's me. And with them, they've always got somebody to blame. Mm. And this is the problem that you have in government as well. Because they all point the finger at somebody else. It's very interesting. But it does make me smile with Donald Trump right now because he hasn't fired the WHO. They've fired themselves.
Yeah.
And he basically led them down a path and hung up some nooses for them. They've stuck their head through the noose and hung themselves. And that's quite a skill set that I sit back and smile and go, yeah. And I can see a load more people being hung, drawn and quartered by him. And they'll do it to themselves and he'll stand back with a smile on his face.
Yeah, yeah. The guy of the World Health Organization, the main dude, I can't remember his name now, the Ethiopian guy.
Yeah.
He's one of the most corrupted individuals I've done a bit of research on him the last few days. Jeez, how he's got that role. He put Robert Mugabe, I think it was like as a goodwill gesture or something like that. Robert Mugabe?
Oh, yeah. Look, he's nothing more than the prostitute.
Mm.
He's very much a person, if you pay him, you get what you want.
Yeah.
The more you pay him, the more you get. He's the hooker that keeps on giving.
So what do you think of Bill Gates coming out now and just using the media to his advantage for this vaccine?
I think it's slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he's a computer geek that created a virus for his computer and then created an antivirus. And I think I'd much rather take advice from a professional who understands than a computer geek. And now we've kicked the WHO into touch, there will be thousands of drugs out there available to us that they've suppressed because they haven't wanted them out there. I don't think people have got a clue how much damage they've done. I think they've been blocking cancer drugs, AIDS drugs, all kinds of drugs, because they have their own agenda.
Yeah. There's no intention to keep people healthy.
That's fairly clear that that's not what they've been doing. That's what they were supposed to be doing. Mm. But you only have to go online to see how many doctors who are not funded by big pharma companies who've turned around and said, this is all wrong. Yeah, and it's not just one or two. There are many, many doctors who've come out and said it.
Yeah. Did you see that Abramovich lady?
Marina Abramovich.
Yeah.
She's a self-proclaimed witch. She's a black arts witch or something like that. Yeah. But then I noticed that Microsoft have taken that advert down now.
Apparently they've put it back up.
Have they?
I told us this morning that they've got put it back up, but we'll see. Yeah, she's I think she does something called spirit cooking or something like that. And she's Hillary Clinton's spiritual guide or something.
Look, from my view right now, we are in the Third World War, which is not a physical fighting war. It's between good and evil. And you've got, I have to be careful not to mention all their names, but you've just mentioned one of them there, that is quite clearly on the side of evil. And this will come out, and this will shake a lot of people to their boots. We're currently right in the middle of the Third World War between good and evil. Or if some people call it the storm. Some people call it the Great Awakening. You can research it yourself and call it what you like. But these people have been controlling the world since time began. You go back to 1930, into the 1930s when the Federal Reserve was set up with Rothschild and Rockefeller. I just wish, Alex, you and I had thought of it first. Print money and sell it to the government. What a great business. You don't even need to have any gold to do it. And it's corruption at the absolute... And then I've always been saying for years now, all these people talk about, oh, we're so in debt. The country's so in debt. And our national debt is this. And no, look, if you buy a car, you know who you're in debt to. You buy a house, you know who you're in debt to. There's not one person in the UK that can tell you who we're in debt to for that debt.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that the boys that we're in debt to are sitting there printing money like it's going out of fashion and lending to us and getting it back. It's not costing them anything. And we're not just paying them the money back, we're paying them back with loads of interest. Just
unbelievable.
You couldn't make it up.
No. It's a hell of a business model.
I just thought of it first. That's where I'm
going. So what role do you think that Donald Trump's playing here? Is he just the front man for this, or do you think Donald he's actually leading it?
Yeah, sorry. Donald Trump is quite clearly the front man. I was told 5 years ago they were going to put him into power because he was the perfect man for the job. He was an egomaniac that was a narcissist that was perfectly cut out for it. And he was explained before they even put him out as a candidate what they wanted from him to do and what the process would be. And there are certain things that I was told very early on that he wouldn't take a salary, which he didn't. He's the first president in history not to be protected by the CIA and the FBI. He's got his own security because they would have killed him like they did with JFK, quite clearly. So he's got his own security. He was put in there to do a job. The team was put together after September the 11th by good guys. Now, these good guys don't actually have names as such. They're working behind the scenes because every time they have a name, suddenly, randomly, somebody kills them. But that's another for another day. There's around 200 of them in the team that are behind him, and there's probably hundreds more. But there's an elite team of 200 that have put him into power, made sure that he's got into power, and are controlling everything behind him. When I ask questions and say, what about this, what about that, the answer's always the same, Charlie. Trust the plan.
Trust the plan.
Yeah.
And that's that. Is that Q, essentially the Q movement? Is that what that is?
The biggest problem that I have, I'm part of the Q setup anyway. I get direct information from them, and I get from a number of sources in the White House through my connections. But it always comes very much coded, so that it can't be. You have to look at a number of different places to decode or speak to people who know how to decode the messages that come through. We nearly always get told certain things that if he does this on his briefings, then you know we're on track. And one of my friends pointed out to me today, said, did you notice that the big disc that's normally on the stand that he stands on has disappeared? And I said, well, no, the one that has United States President is still there. But the one that had the State Department logo has now gone. And he also every now and then lets slip, instead of when he refers to them as the Deep State Department, which he's done a couple of times. And you see the guys around him look at him as if to say, you're not supposed to say that.
That Fauci, it's a bit like a naughty boy. What's his name? Dr. Fauci or something like that, who stands next to him.
He's part of the Deep State, bless him, and that is the classic case of keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. He's got him on a little string at the moment. He's like a little chihuahua that he's got down beside him, keeping his eye on him.
So do you think that China has, a bit of research I've done, the WHO, the World Health Organization, and China seem quite in bed with each other?
They're very much in bed with each other.
Can we see that as an enemy? China.
Now you're going into a different subject about enemies, because I said before this started, I can see Donald Trump becoming the apprentice to Putin. And I think them two get on far better than we will ever know. With the Chinese, the deal that was done between China and the US, the previous deals before the trade deals, were skewed massively in favour of the Chinese. And Donald Trump went down, no, you're not going to have that. The reality is that I don't have a problem with any Chinaman I've ever met, or any Japanese, or any Russians. It's only the politicians that create this anger between not just countries, but between man and woman, black and white, Indian and Pakistani, Muslim, Christian, Sunni and Shia. The actual people get on very, very well. It's the politicians that create the fighting between them. So, and I think that most of the English people get on brilliantly with the Chinese, mainly because we love their food. We don't give a shit about the politics. It's only the politicians who are fighting for power. So there's no animosity between human beings as such. And one interesting thing that somebody pointed out the other day, that if we go to Nasara and Jassara, which is what I'm told that they are doing.
But can you explain that a bit more? Can you explain what that is?
I've actually got a list and I haven't got it in front of me. Then give me 2 seconds.
Yes, go for it, yeah.
The list here, what it is, 1 second.
Because I've heard of that mentioned a few times now over the last few weeks. And a bit of research I did on it, they mentioned Saint Germain. I think he was saying that he had a trust, Saint Germain trust. And then Nasara Jassara was that trust ready to be released to the world, apparently.
Yeah, right. I'm going to have to put my glasses on for this so that I can see this right. Right. First of all, there's a number of factors that have to happen, and He would have to resign as president after this is done, and there would have to be a 120-day window for a new election over there for this to be enacted. But on the 16th of December last year, first of all, and this would be very hard for most people to get their minds around, it would cancel all credit card, mortgage, and other bank debt due to illegal banking and government activities. Many refer to this as the Jubilee. So if you hear the word Jubilee come out, this is what they're referring to. And the complete forgiveness of debt. It would abolish, number two, it would abolish income tax. I'll send you the link to this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it would abolish income tax. It would abolish the IRS. With the employees of the IRS will become transferred to the US Treasury National Sales Tax Area. Number four, they would create a 17% flat rate non-essential new items only sales tax revenue for the government. In other words, food and medicine will not be taxed, nor will such things as old homes. Number five, it increases benefit to senior citizens. Number six, it returns to constitutional law to all courts and legal matters. Number seven, it reinstates the original title of nobility amendment, whatever that is. Number eight, it establishes new presidential and congressional elections within 128 days of Jusara announcement. The interim government will cancel all national emergencies and return us back to constitutional law. Because at the moment we're in a state of national emergency, so that would follow on from what I've been told. Number nine, it monitors elections and prevents illegal election activities of special interest groups. Number 10, it creates the new US Treasury rainbow currency backed by gold, silver, and platinum, or precious metals, ending the bankruptcy of the United States initiated by Franklin Roosevelt in 1933.
Wow.
Number 11, it forbids the sale of American birth certificates, records, as chattel property bonds by the US Department of Transportation. I didn't even know that existed.
Oh yeah, we run the stock market.
Yeah. Number 12, it initiates new US Treasury bank system in alignment with constitutional law. Number 13, it eliminates the Federal Reserve system. During the transition period, the Federal Reserve will be allowed to operate side by side of the US Treasury for 1 year in order to remove all Federal Reserve notes from the money supply. Number 14, it restores financial privacy. Number 15, it restrains all judges and attorneys in constitutional law. It retrains all judges and attorneys within the constitutional law. Number 16, it ceases all aggressive US government military actions worldwide.
That's good.
Number 17, it establishes peace throughout the world. Well, when you think about it, when you take money out of the equation, there is no argument with Russia or China.
No, that's true. It's all political there, financial.
So there's no money issues. This is interesting. Number 18 releases unprecedented prosperity with enormous sums of money for humanitarian purposes. Number 19, it enables the release of over 6,000 patents of supposed technologies that have been withheld from the public under the guise of national security, including free energy devices, anti-gravity, and sonic healing machines. Number 20, it eliminates all current and future nuclear-powered weaponry on the Earth. And then JISARA spelled out is the Global Economic Security and Reform Act. And NESARA is the national, which is just for America.
Yeah.
JISARA is for the rest of the world. NESARA is just for America. That's why they're the two different ones. So NESARA is the National Economic Security and Recovery Act rather than Reformation Act.
So what I got from those is them removing themselves from a corporation, which is essentially what the USA is. He's
correct.
A president of a corporation, and moving that back to a republic.
Correct.
Right, okay, that's interesting.
I'll share the link with you right now so that you have that.
Thank you.
And that just lays everything out very, very clearly.
When was that created?
The fact sheet on JISARA was signed by JFK 2 weeks before he was killed.
Shock.
Yeah. I also have another friend who advises six or seven governments around the world on gold and precious metals, who has been very, very clear about this, and he's been predicting this for a very long time. And he's very, very excited that it's happened now. He's disappointed it didn't happen a long time ago. But no, we're in for huge change, and because I've put my neck out there and started talking about it, I'm getting a million questions and I don't have all the answers. At the moment, I'm just trying to piece together.
Well, you're doing your bit, mate, and that's honourable, because a lot of people hide behind the computers and they don't want to share the truth.
No, they don't. And I think they also, when I started digging into the rabbit hole, for the want of a better word, which is used a lot in this, when you stick your head down there, you see things that you didn't know were happening. And it's a very scary place. Mm. There's things that I never dreamt of that were happening. And hence what's happening right now, this smoke screen, for the arrest of the paedophile gangs and the drug rings. Everybody in the world knows about the drug rings. And anybody that knows deep down with the drug rings that it's always been the work of the CIA. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to work that one out. They've been in control of this for years. But I had no idea of the depth when it came to the paedophile rings and the child abduction rings. It was like the 2,100 children that were rescued in New York couple of weeks ago, and that was a shock to me. They were all, yeah.
Is that public knowledge?
It's not in mainstream media at all.
Right.
There was little snippets that came out. The only reason that I knew it was true is because I had direct contact with a nurse who was on the boat that they brought into New York, the hospital ship. Mm. And she was inquiring as to why these children suddenly had appeared and she was asking where they'd come from. And when I started doing my research, first of all, you go, okay, they came from the tunnels under New York. Then my next question was, didn't even know there was any, but let's take it on from there. How did they get there? Where have all these children come from? We hear about the Madeleine McCann, one child 10 years ago, and you hear the odd one here and the odd one there, you don't realize the numbers of children. And then when I started digging around where these children had come from, the bulk of the ones found in New York had been rescued from Hurricane Katrina. And then a shiver went down my spine. You know, I'm a father of four, a grandfather of four. If you look, and I've lost my oldest son, my firstborn son. When you lose your son, you go through pain and suffering. So these families who've lost children in a hurricane have come to terms with the fact they've lost them in a hurricane. Then they suddenly find out they're found in a tunnel having been sexually abused and you can't even start to address the emotions of that.
No.
When I started watching, I'll be honest with you, I'm a fairly tough old boot. But I could watch about 5 minutes of it before I walked out of my office and I nearly felt sick of what I was seeing and what I was hearing. And the public aren't ready for a lot of that stuff in the UK because they just don't, they don't even believe that even happens.
No.
And I got a mate of mine who said to me, Charlie, have you got any videos of it? I go, mate, you're not right in the head. Even asking for that. He said, well, I want to see the evidence. I go, number one, that's not the sort of thing you tell lies about. Number two, you're the sort of person that goes out to ask if you can go to the front line of a battle to take videos. I go, you know, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So you take the word from the soldiers who are there on the front line. You've always got your K-80s out there who want to be in the, all wrapped up in the battlefields or what have you, filming everything. But now is not the time. You know, those sort of battles are for men. But when you're talking about battles for children, that's a different emotion altogether.
Yeah, it's horrendous. So if and when these people that have been doing these horrendous things, I think you rightly say there, that people aren't going to be ready to hear what's been going on. Do you think it will be released what's been going on, or do you think it will be kept quiet and they'll just be put in prison or executed or what?
I think a combination of both. And if I'm brutally honest, I think we'll probably only learn about 10 or 20% of the truth, because I don't think we could stomach the truth. I know I couldn't, because of the little I've seen of it. It's repulsive. I did actually have an interesting conversation yesterday. I'm having about 20 conversations a day at the moment. But I had a conversation, I'm not going to name her, for her own protection, a very, very pretty girl that has actually been to these places where they take advantage or abuse children. And fortunately, she's still with us. But she actually had first-hand knowledge and first-hand views of what actually happened. And fortunately, she survived it. I had a very interesting conversation with one of my friends who had a conversation with Macaulay Culkin, the child actor, who actually went over to Epstein's Island and they tried to abuse him while he was there, and he managed to escape. And it might explain why he turned into the drug addict alcoholic that he did. Because whilst he was on that island, he's now said to a person that he actually, the people he saw the president of the US there when he was there. He saw judges there. He saw politicians there. He saw lawyers there. He saw multi-billionaires there. Who the hell are you going to go and tell? You're going to be stood in front of a judge that was on the island. And suddenly it puts a different perspective on why he turned to alcohol and drugs. We had no idea.
Yeah, because we think it's his child fame.
Yeah, it was easy to write, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've got that adrenochrome as well, which is the adrenaline of blood, and it's just horrendous. But this can be found online. This isn't hidden.
I know. I never knew anything about it. It's only since I started digging. The one interesting thing, Alex, that I've learned through this whole experience is those that have a view from the left of politics and right of politics, the people from the right of politics will discuss. The people from the left of politics have an agenda, and if you question them, they go mad. You have to agree with them, or you can basically piss off.
Yeah.
They are completely and utterly intolerant to anybody who has a view outside them. And yet, you talk to the ones from the right-hand side, and they're open to listen.
I couldn't agree more with that. Couldn't agree more in all aspects of life, not just this type
Every
of
aspect
everything.
Of life.
Yeah, completely agree. I think you're in security, aren't you, if I'm correct.
Sorry? Right?
Are you in security? Is that correct?
I was involved in Security of currency. I move currency mainly for sovereign families.
Right, okay.
Because most people are unaware of this, but if you've got more than 75,000 in the bank, that's all you're insured for. So a lot of the super wealthy Arabs tend to have piles and piles of US dollar bills and euros in cash outside of the bank, because if a bank goes bankrupt, and there will be a number of banks go bankrupt in the next 6 months, you're only insured for 75,000, even if you're a billionaire. That's why billionaires and millionaires don't keep much cash in the bank. And a lot of these guys who keep their cash, they want it moved. If they buy something large or what have you, they will either buy it in cash or for gold, or they'll want the cash taken from their storage facilities and put into the bank, and then do a transfer there, and then so the transaction is done. But they don't leave huge sums of money in the bank.
The reason I ask is I've seen a couple of videos recently of the police literally going into people's properties, no warrant, going in, saying, we need to look around your property, you're not going to stop us. What can we do as normal citizens to protect ourselves with that?
I think my feeling is that because of the world that we've lived in, and I'm going to call it the dark side, the immoral side, the illegal side, we've had governments that have lied to us. We've had authorities that have lied to us. They've made it acceptable. And I think we're moving away from that right now. And I think when we get through to the other side, I think a lot of that will disappear.
Right.
Because the people that make the rules at this moment in time, a lot of them are far more corrupt and dirty than you will ever, ever know. And they're names that you and I know in politics, in government, in power. It's rotten to the core.
Yeah.
We had a situation yesterday where the little lad who you saw earlier, Justin, my little boy here, he's been locked up for 4 weeks in the house. And he just asked, he said, can he go out for a little ride up and down the road in front of our house, just on his bike? And I said, yeah, of course you can. And the neighbour called the police.
Oh, wow.
And we got a €500 fine for that. But when a guy stood at your front door, two guys both with guns, you don't argue. I'll argue that in the courts.
Mm.
But at the moment, you can't argue with a guy with a gun. They come around, they're fining people for all kinds of things. It's madness.
That's a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Well, fancy the Labour doing that, but that's so conditioned. They've got no individualism whatsoever. It's just gone.
Yeah. But this is what happens when you've got corrupt. You know, I said to my wife the other day, in the last few years, 6-7 years ago, I got accused of something that I didn't do by HMRC. And it cost me £100,000 to defend myself and win the case and 5 years of my life. And I said, it's not nice to be accused of something. And we won the case in court. And I said, it's not nice to be accused of something you don't do. I said, but I have to be honest, I've done things I haven't been accused of. So maybe, no, there's corruption right through. I remember growing up in the United Kingdom, and the policeman was a person you could trust and you could talk to. The chief of police used to come round to my house. And when I moved to Spain, even 11 years ago, when I lost my son, the chief of police came round to my house and gave me a hug 11 years ago. So not so far back.
No.
He just turned up with his possessions that he found in the car. And he put his arms around me and gave me a hug. I'm still friends with him to this day.
Yeah.
He's a different type of policeman. He's got a good heart.
Yeah.
And I suppose it depends how you are, what's inside you. I often say, because people say, oh, it's the circumstances around you. And I often say it's the same boiling water. that softens a potato that hardens a hard-boiled egg. It's what's inside you that counts. It's not the surrounding areas. Like water makes one thing soft and one thing hard. That's the area around you. What's inside you makes what you are.
Yeah, it's wise. Yeah. Mm. And particularly police, they seem just at the moment like bullies, just following orders from bigger bullies. That's just something I've been picking up the last few months, you know, and I'm sure there's good people and bad people in the police. I'm not knocking at everyone at all, but it's just the way that it seems to be going. I'm losing hope in that area of life, you know what I mean?
Don't ever lose hope, because if you do, you give them the upper hand.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, we can stand up together against what's wrong. And I'm a massive believer in that good will win in the end. But we have been through a very dark period for the last few years. In the last 10, 15, 20 years, we've been through a real dark time.
I'd argue thousands of years, to be fair.
You can do. You can definitely argue it's been a long time. But I think we're coming through this tunnel right now. And I have a lot of faith, because of what I've heard, I have a lot of faith in the fact. And the journey that we're going on is happening the way they say it. So it gives me more faith.
Mm. Mm. I think what was interesting was the precious metals that you said, with the rainbow currency.
Yeah.
Because we seem to, as human beings, we seem to have like a special place for gold and silver, don't we? It's like something we've always put value on. I don't know whether that's like a spiritual thing or what. I don't know what it is, but... we all seem to go back to that.
Gold is limited. That's why. That's why it has a value. There's only so much gold.
Mm.
There's only enough gold in the entire world to cover a football pitch.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah. But even then, if we have a currency backed by gold, that would essentially make all the currencies in the world today, they'd have to change. They'd either become obsolete or they'd have to adapt very quickly.
If you do your studies on the way that this would pan out.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little bit of naughty, priceless information today.
Go on.
If this works out, then each currency would go to one.
Right. One to one.
One to one. So $1 would be worth €1, would be worth £1.
So the countries that have been in hyperinflation for the last 30 years, where it's like 100 trillion for $1, it would go that, one, might, that would go on.
That might explain why I've bought some $10 trillion notes from Zimbabwe.
Every cloud. Yeah.
Now, if we go with this theory, might be wrong, I only paid €6 for a $10 trillion note. I've lost €6. I bought it on eBay.
It's a hell of an insurance policy.
For €6, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now we get into the logic as to this one-to-one. This is why I believe Trump is going after the paedophile gangs and the drug gangs. Because he wants to stop them benefiting from this one-to-one.
Right.
And if you look at the pressure he's put on Venezuela, where the Bolivar has gone to thousands and thousands and thousands, of course, that's run by the drug cartels, Venezuela. Not run by the leaders there, it's all run by the cartels. He needs them out of power before he goes to this system.
Yeah.
He needs it because he doesn't want to empower the corrupt people anymore. So he has to go after the paedophile gangs and those in power and the drug rings and those in power before he can go into this system. He has to drain the swamp.
Yeah. But he's been talking about that. He's been talking about that for years, hasn't he?
He has. And he was put in power to do exactly that.
Great. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Charlie. I mean, I've learned a hell of a lot there in about 50-odd minutes.
It's always a pleasure. This is my theory at the end of the day, and only time will tell. But my theory is based on snippets that I've heard from people and my own research.
Mm. Have you got anything else you want to throw in before we wrap it up?
Just remember, Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves
Even
you.
If everyone else thinks you're a twat.
Magic. Charlie, thanks a lot for coming on, mate. Really enjoyed that.
Absolute pleasure. Real enjoyment.
All the best, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Cheers.